With our message this morning from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. We are in the home stretch now of Galatians chapter 6. And the first 10 verses of Galatians 6, when you cut them in half, 1 through 5 and then 6 through 10, each have their own message. And contextually, that's the way we want to look at it. So we'll look at the first half of these first 10 verses this morning, verses 1 through 5 of Galatians chapter 6, with the title, Burden Bearing, What is That? What is that? We read the scriptures here that talk about burden bearing, but what does that really mean? What does that really mean contextually here in this scripture reference? That's what we want to learn today and study. So let's read the text and we'll pray. And we'll jump into it. Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your blessing and orchestration in our service already. And we ask you for your power and might and direction right now. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me for this message, that you bring it and not me. That you change what needs to be changed. You add what needs to be added. Trust and depend on you to do that. Let us hear from God today. Let us be changed. Let us be in a growing mode. Let us be sensitive in our hearts to the moving of thy Spirit as we look at this text today. We ask for your help in this, that we might be a very, very sound and productive body of believers in these most precarious, wicked, and unstable days in which we live. We thank you. We give you praise. You guide and direct now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Burden bearing, what is that? What does a Spirit-led body of believers look like? What do we see them doing? How do they accomplish the task of a Spirit-led church body in these days in which we are living? Well, Paul tells us in verse number 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." This is the main thing that a Spirit-led church body does. Now, we get all the part about helping and providing for the brethren, but we want to get to the specific point of this text. What does this text really mean? The specific point in this passage is the bearing the burden of one another's sin. That's the specific point of the first 5 verses of Galatians chapter 6. And the way that this is accomplished takes us back to verse number 1, where Paul says, brethren, he's speaking to us, he's speaking to the believers. If a man, one of us, a believer, be overtaken in a fault, falls into sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Now note, this is one of the most important parts of this verse. In a spirit of meekness. That is the ingredient that is most often missing in the church today. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The task is for spirit-filled and spirit-led believers, church members, to come alongside those who have fallen into sin, who have begun some sin in their life or have committed some sin in their life, and to restore them to wholeness, to a right relationship again with the Lord Jesus Christ, using the gift of gentleness. That is the method that is to be used. And that can only be done by Spirit-filled Christians, because our carnal tendency is to lash out, to get mad, to pound that individual into the pavement. Now, what we're talking about here this morning is not the norm. What Paul is teaching is not the norm in our society today, and even within our churches today. This is not the norm. And it's the proper method is not going to happen unless we, as God's children, seriously walk in the Spirit. That has to happen if the correction of someone is ever going to happen. You know, as I thought about this, I came up with this illustration. If I had a dollar for every time that this process was not done properly, if I had a dollar for every time that this process was not done properly, we could level our property and start over and build a Taj Mahal for Jesus Christ. And not only that, tomorrow morning, I would have all of you meet me at Graham Motors, and you could pick any car or truck on that lot you want, and we'd have plenty of money to pay for it. And you'd say, Pastor, you're nuts. Well, no, I'm not. I use that illustration because it's the truth. And it's something that as believers we really have to grapple with and pray about and determine in our hearts. Not only are we going to do this, but we are going to do it in the spirit of meekness, with gentleness. If we're going to serve one another in love, as it says in Galatians 5:13, and if we're going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, as it says in Galatians 5:18, then we must obey the text of Scripture that we are studying this morning, that we may help people to get back to a wonderful, wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So knowing that this is something that is not done very often or not very well, we need to really, really take this to heart this morning, that we can truly be a burden bearer in the church of the living God, in this church, Faith Chapel of Carlisle. Now, most often this process is botched because, first of all, it's handled harshly instead of gently. Our flesh, when dealing with other people, the immediate response is to pounce, to get on their case, to tell them about it, and so forth. And so it gets botched when it's not handled properly. Also, it might be something that's not handled at all. Or it's something that's not handled at all because I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to approach this, I don't know what to do. But now we do know. Because that is our text today. We know. We will no longer be able to walk out of here this morning and say, I lack the knowledge to accomplish this task, because we all will have the knowledge to do what God would have us to do. So we want to work our way through this text this morning, through the process of burden bearing, using the formula that Paul gives us here in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. That brings us to our first point this morning, roadblocks to burden-bearing. Roadblocks. Now, to look at that, we got to go back one verse before chapter 6 to verse 26 of chapter 5, where Paul says, let us not be desirous of vain glory, self-conceitedness, thinking I'm all that, provoking one another, envying one another. We stand in good stead to help somebody else when we're not self-conceited. when we are not desirous of vain glory, when we are not gloating over the sin of someone else. Our pride and self-conceitedness is just as sinful as the sin that a brother or sister may be involved in at the moment. If my heart is puffed up with pride, with conceit, with condemnation, I cannot possibly bend down and help someone who has sin in their life. And so Paul addresses this back in verse number 26. We also need to understand that burden bearing is a slave's task. And so we must view ourselves like Paul viewed himself. What does he tell us in the scriptures? He says, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. I bear burdens for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to see ourselves as believers this morning as not just children of the King, not just as soldiers of the cross, but as slaves of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Burden bearing is a slave's task. It takes spiritual guts. It takes work. It takes prayer. It is a messy business, and it is thankless. And so right away you might say, well, you know what? That's not for me. But the Bible says, yes, it is. The Bible says, yes, it is. He begins in chapter 6 with the word brethren. That's you and that's me. Burden bearing is not something for the proud and the haughty to get involved in, because they will do exactly the opposite of Galatians chapter 6. They are envious and they provoke others, as it says in chapter 5 and verse number 26. You know, it's unfortunate. There are some believers who find a wicked satisfaction in finding out about the sins of other people. And you know, our television programs, we have some television programs that are designed to meet this insatiable need of people to be thinking and looking at and yelling at other people about their sin. They're there if you want to watch them. I recommend that you do not. Do not watch these programs which are designed to bring poor souls out on the stage and then talk about their lives, and watch people in the audience get on their case, and to watch hosts needle them and provoke them. That should never be happening. Now, knowing these human pitfalls, Paul offers us victory steps that we can take, that we can become burden bearers for the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings us to point number 2. Burden bearing is the way of Christ. Burden bearing is the way of Christ. Galatians 6 and verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, when we obey Galatians 6, we are operating in the way of Christ. When we operate in the proper way, we disable self-conceit and we enable burden-bearing by remembering the way of our crucified Savior. You know, when you meditate on the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ, When you think about His suffering, it has a humbling effect on our heart, which will then dig out, root out, and cast out the conceit that we may carry within our own heart. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to bear burdens. Jesus came to give His life and to bear our sins away on the cross, as is stated in Mark 10:45 and 1 Peter 2:24. If you would just sit down and read Isaiah chapter 53, that'll get your heart rolling in the right direction as you consider the suffering of our Savior as indicated there in prophetic verses in Isaiah chapter 53. You know, every time that you sit down and you might start, your mind starts to wander about someone else's sin that you know. You know right away that you've been had by the devil. You know right away that he is controlling your thoughts and not the Holy Spirit of God. And so we need to tune ourselves into that truth. That when we sit and we start to think in the wrong vein about someone else in the household of faith, the devil has taken us down. And his goal is to get you to think about other people's sin so that you don't have time to deal with your own. You see, he wants your sin to just keep on going, and so he'll get you to think about other people and what they're doing wrong. So it gets your heart and your mind off of, now wait a minute, I need to do some self-examination here. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself was the ultimate burden bearer, sinking deep in meditation on the life of Christ, his suffering, his horrible death, the horrible events that preceded the cross that we talk about and think about every time we remember our Savior's death until he comes, thinking about his amazing love. You'll find that the conceits and the fascination that you may have had with somebody else's sin is gone. Because I'm thinking about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he did and what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary for me. So burden bearing is truly the way of Christ. Point number three, self-deception stifles burden bearing. Self-deception stifles burden-bearing. Chapter 6 and verse number 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, I have found in my own life that when those thoughts start to come into my mind, it doesn't take long for the Lord to just do something real quick to cut my legs out from under me. He has a way of bringing us back to reality. You know, the Lord has a way of jerking our chain and saying, hey, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Self-deception stifles burden-bearing. You know, it's so easy to think that we're all that when we are just not. Self-deception is so incredibly easy and simple to do. And it's one of those arrows that the devil has in his quiver that he's pulling out all the time and firing away, just firing away at self-deception. You know, it's so easy to give ourselves a clap. It's so easy to congratulate ourselves. And you know what? We really hate that in other people, don't we? We really don't like it in other people, but oftentimes we accept it for ourselves. You know, sin has a way of speaking lies. Lies such as, you know what? I really am something. Man, am I good. One of our former boxers used to say, I'm the greatest. Not anymore. Look how kind I was. You know, to exalt ourselves comes very, very naturally. So easy to deceive ourselves. Jesus warns about self-deception in his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7 and 3, and he talks about the speck and the log. That'll bring us back to reality real quick. Self-deception causes us to judge instead of bearing the burdens of brothers and sisters. So the first step to fixing this is to confess it, acknowledge it, own it. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 have an answer to this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Wonderful scripture to fix that. This scripture holds the cure. Point number four, burden bearers grade their own work. Chapter 6 in Galatians and verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Let every man prove his own work. The word prove means to test, to discern, to examine. Did you ever have a teacher when you were in school that allowed you to grade your own test? It happened once in a while to me. Maybe it has to you. Here's the question. Were you honest? Man, I'm grading my own test. And I even carry around my own red pen. Oh, I think that answer is close. That's good. That'll be all right. Were you easier on yourself than if you would have graded the test of the person that sat beside you, which is mostly what happened? You know, our standard in grading our own work is found back up in verse number 2. It's the law of Christ. That is our standard when we examine, test, grade our own work. We think upon how would Jesus have done this? Would this stack up with him? Is this part of his will? Is this what Jesus would have me to do? We have to be careful that we don't get preoccupied with how we're doing in comparison to somebody else in the church. And the best way to grade yourself is to put Jesus behind the desk, give him your red pen, and say, Lord, go at it. You take this test apart piece by piece. And now you know that you're going to come up with the right grade. Burden bearers grade their own work. They give it to the Lord. They look, how is Jesus, how would he do this? We have to get a good grip on how we're doing, not how they're doing. We have to find out how are we doing, not them. It'll help you, and it will give you a better grade on Judgment Day. Judgment Day is coming. That brings us to point number 5. Burden bearers will have a sweet judgment. Burden bearers will have a sweet judgment. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Speaking of the final judgment, the judgment seat of believers. If you keep your eye on the prize, it'll motivate you to do the right thing. Martin Luther said that this verse ought to frighten us so that we don't yearn for vainglory. Romans 2 and verse 6 says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Judge. He's the Judge. We need to see the judgment seat for what it is. We are all going to appear in court. You know, I think about that when I drive down Hanover Street and I come to the red light. There's the courthouse. And I see all the poor souls going into the courthouse. They have to go there. They have been summoned. And they're going to find out what's going to happen. Well, guess what? We're all going to court. We're all going to be there. And we're not going together. We're going one by one. All by ourselves to receive the things done in our bodies, whether it be good or whether it be bad. The Judge, King Jesus, will be on the throne. Matthew 12:36 says, we will give an account for every careless word, every useless, idle word. Constantly remembering the judgment seat of Christ. will help us to keep our focus on heavenly things. It'll motivate us in our Christian walk. It'll help us to pursue holiness and righteousness and the goal of obtaining eternal rewards, which will be handed out by the judge in court at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, if we pull this whole passage together and give it a one-liner, it would go like this: bear one another's burdens now, because you'll have to bear your own load later. That's condensing the whole thing. Bear one another's burdens now, because you'll have to bear your own load later. And that brings us to our final point, number 6 this morning: getting it done. Getting it done. Now that we've looked at this passage, we know how to do this. Get it done. How do we get it done? Let's frame getting it done with 3 questions. Number 1, who should bear burdens? Who should bear burdens? Well, those that are spiritual. Verse number 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, in a sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." Who should bear burdens? Those who are spiritual. Those who are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Those who are definitely every day attempting by God's grace and begging Him to fill him to walk in the Spirit. Now, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then you ought to be walking in the Spirit every day. You ought to be led by the Spirit every day. And how do you do that? Well, you get up every morning and you confess your sins, and then you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and lead you through the day. Now, I realize I've said that I don't know how many times, but that has to be done. If that doesn't get done, it's not happening. We don't fill ourselves with the Spirit. The Spirit fills us with the Spirit of Christ, who is the Holy Spirit. And we beg Him to lead and to guide and to direct us. Martin Luther said, "Burden bearers must have broad shoulders and husky bones." Broad shoulders and husky bones, if you're going to do that. We talked about that way back at the beginning. It takes guts, it takes prayer, it's work. It has to be done. Number 2, when should we bear one another's burdens? Whenever someone is overtaken in a sin. Whenever that happens. Verse number 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You know, whenever someone is overtaken in a fault, it's not just the big ones, it's also the little ones. Jealousy, strife, fits of anger, rivalries, envy, dissensions, backbiting, all those. And question number 3, how should we do it? How should we do it? In a spirit of gentleness. Verse number 1, the answers are all in verse number 1. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of gentleness. I can't overemphasize that. Spirit of meekness, gentleness. This is the key. Usually people tend to get worked up. They get all bent out of shape. You know, the Christian life is not junior high school. This is determined, spirit-filled gentleness which has been what we need to do, bathe it in prayer before we ever open our mouth at all. Bathe it in prayer. Pray, 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 pray before it's done. And it should be done privately and discreetly. It must be done in a spirit of love, the way of Christ. Love restores because love is all about the glory of God. You see, if you're all about the glory of God, then your life will be lived with love. God is love. Christ is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is what Spirit-filled and Spirit-led church people and churches do. One more Martin Luther quote. The Holy Spirit alone is able to preserve us from being infected by this poison. The poison is in verse number 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We've got to have the Holy Spirit directing and leading and filling us so that we don't think that we are something when we're not. This is why I stress from this pulpit that we have to get up every day and confess our sin and get filled with the Spirit. It must take place if we're to be successful. This is absolutely essential for burden bearing and for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for the gold nugget of truth that's buried here in Galatians chapter 6. We have before us in this text, this scripture, the means and the way to bear the sin of brothers and sisters, to help restore, to help fix, to help eliminate sin. And we see the key to this success is in how we handle it. Bathing in prayer, approaching discreetly with gentleness, kindness, and love, that we may have a well-oiled machine called the church that is chugging along in power and glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that you'll take the verses of Scripture here in Galatians 6 and seal them, plant them, make them grow in our hearts, that we might be outstanding trophies of thy grace in these days. Father, may we not be the status quo. May we not fall. But Lord, may we walk in victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, using the scriptures that make us wise, that help us in all that we do to glorify you. So Father, we love you this morning. We give you all the praise, the honor, the glory. Help us with this most important task. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.